The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
I have one of the international verses, or voices, I should say, not verses, but a voice for the unborn and for the sanctity of life. And that's Ms. Cindy Collins, who is the executive director of the Crisis Pregnancy Center and a whole list of other things. And I've asked Cindy if she would come today and just share what was on her heart about what's going on. And so I've given her a carte blanche to say whatever she wants to say. So let's give her a good New Beginnings welcome. And Cindy, if you'll just come on up here by me. Hallelujah.
We've prayed that each person that the Lord wants to be here is going to be here today. And I know that I've been at New Beginnings before, and many of you have heard me speak before, and you know my testimony. And just in a little bit, we're going to see, it's about a 3-minute video of I sort of open it up, and it's really what it is, it's the side effects of abortion. As Morris said, the Lord has taken me from the depths of the sin that I was bound in over 25 years ago into His cleansing blood, His redeeming grace, His forgiveness, set me in a place of ministry out of the hurt in my life to bring hope to other women also. The Lord doesn't leave us there in our sin. We may want to stay there. And even in the church, we may want to stay there, hidden in secret shame. But the Lord is calling, and I want to say this church, because y'all are strategically placed with seasoned pastoral leadership on the highways and byways with the sign that says New Beginnings. It's not just the name of a place or of a church. It's a prophetic declaration on this body. And God is calling this body to come forth, to arise, and awaken in this hour. And y'all, I say this because you'll see a little bit of my story on here, but there are 1 in 3 women in our nation that has had an abortion. Okay? So often when I am speaking to a group, and there may be 5 of us, and we start talking about abortion or start talking about hurt, secret sins, things in our lives, I will begin sharing that statistic of 1 in 3. Because the Lord has given me a heart and a passion, even if I'm the only one in here today, to go into the body of Christ, across denominations, and start speaking that truth into the church and into the body, that we have to be a place of healing, a place of love, and a place where those secret sins, that secret shame that may be in our heart, begins to be released. Because what happens is it hinders us from the healing process and from reaching out to others. Not only in that the Lord's bringing in, but reaching out to others in our community. You know, I know that Jesus is my only hope. You know, when the enemy tries to come against me mentally, to have these mental attacks, I can take the Word of God and I can cast down those vain imaginations. But you know, we are in economic crisis. This community has come through Katrina. There's all sorts of trauma, everything that is escalating upon this earth. And those that have no hope in Christ are being triggered right now. And all that has been suppressed in them in that 1 in 3, they have no hope. And I will tell you that St. Tammany Parish has the highest rate of suicide in Louisiana. Wow. Now, you don't hear that. You know, Dennis may have heard some of this in him working for the sheriff's the sheriff's office, but it's not publicized in the newspapers We don't hear about it because those things legally are not publicized. But we have to ask ourselves why.
Yeah.
And before we watch this, I want to, you know, share with you, as far as we know, abortion is not permitted in St. Tammany Parish or in Slidell. But it may be hidden in some of the doctor's offices. Ladies, I would ask you, as you're going to your gynecologist or your obstetrician, words that we don't necessarily use on a Sunday morning service, is to, praise God, Luke was a physician, is that to ask your physician, not necessarily how do you, what's your stand on abortion, you can, because you may not get the honest answer. What I've learned to ask is, if you have a woman coming to you and she doesn't know whether she wants to have her baby and she's thinking about abortion, what do you tell her? What do you say to her? Where do you refer her? You will most likely get an honest answer. I would strongly encourage you that if your doctor says that they refer that woman for an abortion, to share your views, share your heart with them, and if they decide not to change, that means that their hands are a part of shedding innocent blood. Okay? And that's what I tell you in just my own personal, I do not want anybody touching my body whose hands agree with the shedding of innocent blood. Okay? What I'd like to do is show you this video, because many times those that go through abortion are misunderstood. We are called those women, them, you know, without necessarily understanding the heartbreak, the deception, the coercion, the forcing that women are caused to do in having an abortion. I work at the Crisis Pregnancy Center. I've been so blessed that Gina has been a part of the ministry for a few months now, and Mike also have been a part of ministries. We go out and we speak together about what the Lord's doing at the center and even nationally. But we've seen, you know, over 20,000 women at the center. Over 9,000 babies have been born, have been over there over 20 years, and have seen a tremendous change in our culture and in our society. We see many broken, abandoned, abused young women, fatherless. Not only are they bringing their child in a fatherless situation, but they've come from fatherlessness and generational fatherlessness. And then possibly the only men that they knew in their life were their grandfather, father, stepfather, boyfriend that sexually abused them as a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old. We see some heartbreaking situations, and the only person that can do anything about it is Jesus Christ. Jesus is our only hope. We are only His vessels over there, and we receive direction from Him as what to do. And all that we can offer is the unconditional love and grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. And the same thing that He did in my life, and passing that on to somebody else, one by one, wherever you are, whether it be at the center, in church, at Walmart, on the street, your mailman, I am praying that the Lord gives to you after today divine appointments, and that your heart is awakened to the life of this generation. There have been over 50 million in this generation that have been killed by abortion. That's about 1 out of every 3 children. You know, we are have become a nation. There's 50 million worldwide that are killed. The birth rate in some countries like Serbia is, the birth rate is lower than the death rate. And so there's a decrease in the population that's going on. A few years back, is just praying and knowing that God has an awesome call on this generation, that He's pouring out His Spirit upon this generation, I felt the Lord was saying that by the time my son would be 19 years old, he's 22, that our country would be at war. Our nation would be at war. And sure enough, our nation was at war. And then the Lord started to speak to my heart, which was in alignment with Scripture. If we cannot defend the least of these as our nation in their time of need, How can our nation expect Almighty God to defend us in our time of need? Unless we repent, and the time is now, and folks, it's up to each one of us. The days are over where leaders like myself at the Crisis Pregnancy Center, Morris and Pat, where we can say, oh, it's up to them. Oh, they're doing it. It's up to them. God's saying, no, He's visiting each and every household now. And each one of us is going to hold an account to God, because each one of us can do something. And He's speaking to our hearts today. You can do something. And He'll show you what that something is. I subscribe to a multitude of things on the internet to try and keep aware of the quickly changing climate of our nation. I was up in Washington, D.C. last week for the March for Life, and there were close to 300,000 of our closest friends that were up there.
Wow.
And there were a group of probably close to 300 women and men who had experienced abortion like myself that stood before the Supreme Court building. We marched at the front of the 300,000 that said, signs, I regret my abortion. Abortion hurt me. As God is raising up more and more women and believers in Christ who have been healed and have the knowledge of the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and men to begin speaking out to our nation. The new administration, no matter who you voted for, has to hear this.
Yes.
Because it has not been heard before. And I want to say this, is that things are not as they seem. When Jesus Christ was being beaten, when He was mocked, when He was on the cross, the enemy thought He had Him.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord knew.
Amen.
On the third day, Jesus was going to arise again, and there was victory.
Amen.
So no matter what we may be hearing, know that things are not as they seem. Jim, what I'd like for you to do, this is a little 3-minute and 56 second documentary on the side effects of abortion and the lifelong side effects. The filming of this was actually done when a team of us was over in Israel, and we were ministering to the women of Israel, where the abortion rate is extremely high over there. About 26% of the population in Israel has had abortions.
Whoa.
So I'll be sharing a little bit more of that, of what the Lord's doing nationally. But just to go ahead and set, why don't we go ahead and watch this? To encourage you, just in the national level, to make sure that you're being kept aware of those things that are going on in our nation and how this is going to affect our nation. Okay, just in the past week, and again, this is information that if you have not heard of it and the impact of that information. In the past week, President Obama, by executive order, froze all of President Bush's regulations, including newly promulgated rights of conscience rules, then quietly lifted a ban, which was called the Mexico City Policy, on U.S. taxpayer funding for abortion promoting international organizations. What that means, if you have not heard that before, is that our taxpayer dollars will be going to international organizations such as Planned Parenthood, who has a large international presence, to fund abortions in those nations. What does that mean to those nations? I've traveled some to other nations and talked to our brothers and sisters in Christ in those nations. They don't want abortion in their nations, nations like Ghana. They don't want abortion. Even though it's not legal in those nations, abortion may still be done, but they do not want it in their nations. And then here comes the United States under this lifting of the Mexico City policy, which is the funding of international organizations that promote abortion, such as Planned Parenthood. And if that nation will not perform abortion or make abortion legal, they do not receive funds from the United States. So they are forced. Some of the nations, like Ghana, well, they don't care. They said, keep your money. You know, a strong Christian president that's there, And so we need to pray for our brothers and sisters in these other nations as this trickle-down effect hits them. And they want to stand for the Lord, and they don't want to see these death decrees that are against the Word of God coming to their nations. Okay, second, the U.S. Senate voted against reinstatement of that Mexico City policy, and as taxpayers, we now pay for those abortions. Senator Mary Landrieu voted against reinstatement. What does that mean? Is that Senator Mary Landrieu voted against the reinstatement of us not having our taxpayer dollars. Okay. Okay.
If abortion was a prescription, what I would see on the label as the side effects are a lifetime of pain, alcoholism, drug addiction, nightmares, thoughts of suicide, hearing your baby scream in the night, never being able to change the choice that you made.
If the true risks of abortion were told before a woman got an abortion, she would never choose abortion. The risk of abortion for me included a lowered self-esteem, that it led to depression and suicide attempts. The risk of my abortion included a near divorce experience, an inability to bond with my children, an inability to accept love from my future husband. It included a feeling of rejection because of the shame and guilt of the abortion, so that affected every relationship that I had for many years.
You experienced severe guilt, depression, anxiety, anger, unforgiveness, sexual dysfunction, relationship disorder, bonding issues with your living children,
anger, guilt, bitterness,
numbness,
pain, low self-esteem,
emotional pain, maintenance,
unworthiness,
feeling like you're empty and you can't be filled,
death,
no matter how much alcohol you drink or how much you're being hugged by men or, you know,
death of relationships,
loneliness.
For me, and any woman that had the abortion, it was a danger. You'll withdraw, you'll become bitter,
danger happens
you'll
to
become
your health.
Angry.
They call spiritual death, self-hatred,
shame,
depression could lead to suicide.
Emptiness,
loneliness,
resentment,
torture. I was just, you know, thoughts of suicide and
beyond no recognition.
Just acting out sexually with men and
pure slavery,
stealing, and just anything and everything, try to fix the void and the emptiness that I had inside me.
Humiliation. No
self-respect,
no self-esteem, no hope, no dreams, no nothing. When the reality has been what you've done, you need an act of God to pull you out of it, and that's what it's going to take.
The list goes on and on. There's not enough room on a packet of pills to list the side effects of abortion.
I wanted y'all to see that because you see one face, but then you take that face to over 50 million faces and possibly 40% of women who have had abortions, like myself, will abort again and again and again because it becomes an abortion nightmare, and a woman is never mentally and emotionally the same after abortion except for the blood of Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can pull her out of that pit of hell that the enemy takes her in the deception and the lie of abortion and those that are bound in the abortion industry. because that's what it is. It's a multi-billion dollar industry that is against women and against children and against fatherhood, you know, also. I received, as possibly some of y'all did, my husband had printed this out, and why has this happened in our nation? And I say this because I say this lovingly, including myself. We need to wake up. You know, the church needs to wake up. Our voice needs to be heard. The time is short. The hour is short. You know, the Lord, in His love and His mercy, wants us to wake up, and it's not too late. Let me say that. It's not too late. Moore sent this out of Reverend Charles Finney. If there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discernment, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it. You have a pastor who is allowing me to come and speak. And I would say that each one of us has a responsibility in this. And each one of us has an opportunity today to do something about this. Because I can tell you this, as far as revival goes, and God's mercy on our land, unless we repent for the shedding of innocent blood, how can God bless America? How can He protect us when we will not protect even the very least of these? Yes. Scripture says in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 11, that we are to rescue those who are drawn away to slaughter. And if we say we did not know, God will hold us to account. Yes. He will say, how can you say you did not know? And in this day and age, with media, with internet, with a message like this, how can we say we did not know other than we have hardened our hearts?
Yes.
And we have become so desensitized and used to what is going on that we feel like possibly there's no hope. Or possibly even like myself, you may have abortion in your past through a loved one personally. You may have paid for one. You may have not spoken up in a time. There may be something that the enemy is trying to hit you with, to hold you back from God's destiny. Let me let you know today, it is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can come to Him today, and you can ask Him for that forgiveness, whether it even be for apathetic attitude or somebody else to step into the fray of this battle, and say, Lord, forgive me.
Yes.
Show me what it is that you want me to do as an intercessor, as a worker, as someone who is sharing their testimony of God's grace and forgiveness, of somebody who enters into the fray in politics. And God is calling you to become an elected official or to be engaged in the culture. It's an awesome thing because of where our nation is and as parents, what we're passing on down to this next generation. You know, you heard about earlier, was it Dawana, about the youth group. God's outpouring upon this generation. You know, I look at Andrew and Brad and Kyle and Chase and these, you know, mighty men of God that are in the Piazza family. Why did the Lord give Gina 4 boys? You know, because He knew that Gina and Mike would come to Him and everything that they would need would be poured into them from God for this generation. And as parents, it's for us to have, and grandparents, it's for us to have that vision for our children and our grandchildren to raise them up in these last days as mighty warriors in His kingdom. God is pouring out His Spirit upon this generation. And let us not be allowed to entertain them, to not prepare them for what is coming upon this earth. Because Scripture says in Psalm 27:10, even if my mother and father forsake me, the Lord Himself will adopt me. You know, the Lord bypassed a whole generation with Moses' generation. And He went to the next. And I don't want Him to bypass me. I want to go ahead and be a Caleb. I want to take those giants out. Even though my body may seem like it's getting older, my spirit is getting more rejuvenated in Christ Jesus. And He will give me the steps that I need. He will give you the stone that you need to sling at the giant, the most powerful being in prayer. And if He calls you to go to unusual places, the unexpected, where you are stretched, and maybe you're going to Washington, D.C., Baton Rouge, Slidell City Council, or those places of authority, even in other churches, and saying, who am I, Lord? I've given you a message. You go and speak. Who am I, Lord? I've given you the message. You go and speak. Amen. Do not have fear of man, because God has chosen you to live for such a time as this. I say this because I say this in honor also of my 98-year-old mother-in-law that went home to be with the Lord last night. And my beloved husband, who was the firstborn out of her womb, out of her loins, and the legacy that she passed on down to her children, her children's children, and now her great-grandchildren in Christ. Amen. And all the days of her life, especially the latter days, she talked about the goodness of the Lord. So it doesn't matter what age we are, how little, or how old we think we are. God has need of us, and it is a new day in Christ Jesus. I pray that you hear what I'm saying, because I know that God is saying that He's called me to speak a message of awakening to this church. You know, and that it's a new day, and to break off any old mindsets that might have been there. I want to read just from Psalm 51 to give you some action items also and some encouragement, because in this stirring on the day of the Super Bowl, where the Steelers are going to win, I'm just kidding, because I'm from Pittsburgh, I'm sorry. The Lord wants us to walk hand in hand with Him in pressing forward that this is going to be the church's finest hour. And He's asking us to participate. Before I read this, I was sitting in the back, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to give a word of encouragement. I heard the word distractions. And I felt like the Lord was saying, I mean, even in my own life, that there may be some things that are being removed. And it may seem like they're being removed even maybe because of debt. It seems like there's some loss of things. And God is saying to you, don't be discouraged. There's another D word there. Because the Lord is removing distractions. And as those things may seemingly be removed, draw, there's another D word, near to God. He's calling you to praise Him and to draw near to Him. If you see those things possibly being removed, if there's adjustments that need to be made, those distractions and the simplicity of the relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ is being restored in this hour of where He wants us to be. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, Isaiah 51 says, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah, who gave birth to you in pain. When I called him, he was only one. I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and melodious song. Pay attention to me, my people, and listen to me, my nation, for instruction will come from me, and my justice for a light to the nations. I will bring it about quickly. My righteousness is near. My salvation appears, and my arms will bring justice to the nations. The coastlands will put their hope in me, and they will look in my strength. Look up to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants will die in like manner. But my salvation will last forever, and my righteousness will never be shattered. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my instruction. Do not fear disgrace by men, and do not be shattered by their taunts. For the moth will devour them like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will last forever, and my salvation for all generations. Wake up! Wake up! Put on the strength of the Lord's power. Wake up, as in days past, as in generations of long ago. Wasn't it you who hacked Rahab to pieces, who pierced the sea monster? Wasn't it you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the seabed into a road for the redeemed to pass over? And the ransomed of the Lord will return and come into New Beginnings Church. Amen. And come to Zion with singing, crowned with unending joy. Joy and gladness will overtake them in the presence of the Lord at New Beginnings Church, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Amen? Amen. And that's in Isaiah 51. And I encourage you to meditate on that and to allow the Lord to awaken your soul to what he is calling his body to do in this hour. It only takes one, and each one of us can do something, and it needs to be what God's showing us to do, to be obedient. There are some different websites, and I'll have this information in the back. There's a website that it's called lifenews.com, and again, I'm not saying this is a political statement other than the news that's going on. Some of the titles are Obama Deputy Attorney General Nominee stated, childbirth is worse than abortion. President Obama could damage pro-life efforts with Greg Commerce pick. Adult stem cells successfully reset immune system to multiple sclerosis patients. George Mason University arrests pro-life advocates educating on abortion. There were students at George Mason University that were arrested just because they were handing out pro-life literature silently. Okay. There are some things that are happening again politically. One of them we talked about was the Mexico City policy. Another one was the state children's health insurance legislation. It's called S-CHIP. The Senate voted in favor of S-CHIP legislation. It failed to pass an amendment by Senator Orrin Hatch to codify the unborn child. Senator Landrieu voted against the unborn child. And so, you know, to become politically aware, so as intercessors, we will know how to pray. God says that he holds the heart of a king in his hand. We are believing and declaring and praying for holy, supernatural visitations in the White House. And that as God has his hidden Esthers and his hidden Daniels in the secret places of the White House, that they will begin to, and Josephs, that they will begin to gain great favor because God has them placed there. And so our prayers are very necessary and very powerful. This is going to be the church's finest hour. We are going to see the heart of the king turned by the Lord, bringing even those in the White House into salvation. There's been another piece of legislation. It's called FOCA, the Freedom of Choice Act. And it's not any freedom, and it's not any choice. I can tell you, as I've stood over ministering at the abortion facility on Causeway, it's Causeway Abortion Facility in Ridgelake. It's the largest abortion provider in Louisiana. And I did not see any women really going in there with support. They were being dropped off by their boyfriends or their husbands and then just picked up. And I saw one young girl that was in her second trimester that was being yelled at by her mother as she was going into that abortion facility. That place is a great place in need of prayer, as we're even praying for the abortion providers to come out of there, and some of them have, and have turned their lives over to the Lord. The Freedom of Choice Act, which may seem to come down piecemeal through legislation, states that it will bring back partial birth abortion, once again killing babies during delivery. It will use the momentum behind universal health care to include funding for abortion on demand. What does that mean? In our nation, supposedly a woman has a choice, but because it's legal, she is coerced and forced. Eventually, it could become in our land, as it has been in other nations such as China, that women will be forced to have abortions. It's happened in other nations. Don't be surprised if there's a move for it to become that way here if the church does not speak up. Freedom of Choice Act will also take away any rights of parents to be involved before their minor daughter undergoes a surgical or chemical abortion. It will deny women the right to be fully informed to the dangers of abortion before having one. It will force health care providers and professionals to participate in the killing of innocent human life, which means that local hospitals, Baptist hospitals, Catholic hospitals will be forced to perform abortions, or they will not receive government funds, government assistance. The Catholic bishops have also already said they'll close down their hospitals, which would cause a great disservice to the rest of the community because of so much benevolent care that is given. It will even affect our own doctors. One of the doctors that we refer to a lot, he takes some benevolent cases, he is very concerned about what is going on. It will brutally kill babies who survive late-term abortion by reversing the Born Alive Infant Protection Act. For those babies that have survived saline abortion, like Gianna Jessen, who's in her 20s, those babies will not be given any assisted care. It will put women's health and lives at risk by blocking protective regulations of abortion mills, many that operate like dangerous back alley abortion facilities because there are no regulations in these places. You know, Summer can tell you over at Dr. Guevara's practice, there's regulations that they have to go through. If you've had your ears pierced, or guys, if you have any tattoos, there are regulations that those facilities had to go through. In the abortion facilities, there are no regulations, no mandatory inspections, no licensing, nothing. So even the instruments that are being used that are passed from one person, one patient to the next, that have blood remnants on them, that may be infected with HIV, the vulnerable woman who's going in there at a very vulnerable state where her hormones, prostaglandin, or progesterone is rising, all sorts of, she's very vulnerable at that time. Those instruments are being used on her body, and she may not only leave there without her child, but she may leave there with a lifelong disease also. Okay? And that's why the church has to speak up. Just in closing, there is another website. It's called Bioethics Defense Fund. Dorinda Bordley, who lives in Metairie, and I've worked with many times on legislation. Let me tell you, it's not comfortable going up to Baton Rouge, and I'm having to share the deepest, darkest part of my life. But God has called me to this. You know, each one of us, it's not just one person, each one of us has to speak out. And each one of us has a part to play. And God's anointing, His blessing, and His presence, and His supernatural love is there with us every step of the way. He wants us to join into those mighty exploits. The last thing is, it's called the Abortion Industry Bailout Plan Goes into Action. Seeing all of this attempted money trying to be released to Planned Parenthood and these abortion providers. It says that there's a three-pronged abortion industry bailout plan to sign an executive order to abandon the Mexico City policy so that the United Nations organizations can fund abortion overseas. I'm going to be going up to the United Nations in March and working with a team of women that is going to be sharing our testimonies from different nations. And, you know, who are we? I can think, who am I? They're not going to listen to me. And God's saying, show up. Mm-hmm. Trust Him and show up. The second thing is the repeal of the Hyde Amendment in order to allow tax-funded abortion on demand through Medicaid. You know, if you can't process of how it affects women, the heart for the unborn child, we think of our pocketbooks and how the taxpayer dollars will be used to fund abortion on demand. That is the Hyde Amendment. Henry Hyde, in that amendment, said no taxpayer dollars through Medicaid for abortion on demand. He's gone to be with the Lord, and in his heart, he wants our voices to stand up. You know, it only takes a minimal amount of people, maybe 500 people, or just 5 people, to call a legislator locally, and they're saying, what's going on out in the community? Voices are being heard. The third thing is appropriate tax dollars. They're going to appropriate tax dollars to Planned Parenthood and defund crisis pregnancy centers. There are some crisis pregnancy centers. Ours does not receive government funding because we made that decision long ago. We flow very greatly in the spirit and just didn't want to have to deal with all this stuff that's going on, and the Lord has provided. But some centers, they go all the way from the very first pregnancy test all the way through. A center in Florida has a birthing room. They have 3 birthing rooms in their center and a physician on staff. They have a multi-million dollar budget, and they take care of women so that they are provided with the love and care of Jesus Christ all the way through. What will happen is those funds that are going to centers like that are going to be stripped from, will try, I don't want to declare anything, will try to be stripped from those facilities if we do not speak up, and they will be appropriated, our tax dollars, to organizations like Planned Parenthood. It is not Planned Parenthood, it is Planned Barrenhood. Yes. And the founder of that, Margaret Sanger, who was also an associate, knew Adolf Hitler, and it was a planned eugenics, especially against women and also against the black population. So we have more information on that. What can you do? Pray. Pray, pray, pray. We ask for your prayers over at the center. We are seeing some intense things over there. And it is very difficult, even in the short amount of time we're there, for maybe 5 hours, where it's very intensified because we've had to operate the center in that way with the staff that we have and the volunteers that we have, of so many broken women and young women in our community. And since Katrina, it has gotten more intense. And like I said, I'm so thankful that Gina is serving over there. She can tell you. On Tuesdays, and I believe it's because Jean is there. That's you know, one of the reasons why the Lord just brings them all in. And I'll see her spinning around, but it's spinning around for the Lord, you know, and she's come with a willing heart. Her gifts are much greater, and God has her in a place of preparation right now and ministering to the women that are over there. And we are seeing women who have come through the center that are reporting back to us just even in recent days. I got a phone call from somebody that their young child's class had a baby shower for us. I went ahead and I told her about the services of the center. She said, "Oh, Miss Cindy, I know about the services of the center." I said, "You do?" She said, "Yes, I do." She said, "I was in there about 22 years ago. It's when the center opened up." She said, "And I was a teenager. I was thinking about abortion. I didn't know what to do. And I kept on just thinking I couldn't do this. I couldn't do this." She was in a vulnerable state. But because we were there and just opening the door, she said, "Y'all didn't condemn me." I've heard that over and over again. Mm-hmm. And she said, "I felt it was different in there. It's the love of Jesus Christ."
Yes.
And she said, "I want you to know my son is now serving over in Iraq." So when we speak up for those that need to be defended, then they defend us.
Yes. Yes.
As a nation.
Yes.
Think about that. As our nation moves forward and as we get older. There are two things, and this is going to be under the approval of Pastor Morris, is that there is a sheet that's in the back, and this is put out by the Alliance Defense, Americans United for Life, and there's a website down at the bottom, and it's information about what's called FOCA, or Freedom of Choice Act. Says FOCA would eliminate every restriction on abortion nationwide from conception until that baby's outside of the womb. Okay? So there's a little information sheet. And then here on the back are the names, telephone numbers, email addresses of people that you elected and that you are paying their salaries through your taxpayer dollars and that need to hear your voice. Because you're their boss.
Yeah.
And they're called elected officials.
Yeah.
Okay? So you let them know how you feel. And you can write them a nice letter. And they want to hear from you. They really do want to hear from you. And then the other thing is there is a petition that I will leave in the back also. You can take one of these. And you can also even fill it out online. You can take it. And I can tell you, Pastor Morris, that I was told by some of our volunteers that our brothers and sisters in all the Catholic churches in the Slidell area and Lacombe area, the priest passed out cards for their congregation to fill out these petitions to go. That was their Sunday service. So we in the Evangelical Church, we're catching up. Okay? And I want to invite y'all, and Pastor Morris, and Pat, and Tiffany, and the new grandbaby, to come up with us to Washington, D.C. next year on a mission trip. Okay? And lead the way for a new beginning for this nation. You know, we can do it, and our nation will be changed. And our lives will be changed. And our community will be changed.
Yes.
Just as I close, I want to encourage y'all because Slidell is a very unique community. There are so many things that are set in place in this community that God has set in place of ministries, of churches, of places of fellowship. And we are blessed, even though we've come through Katrina, to be in this place of service. And I want to encourage you to become familiar, possibly with some of the other organizations, even secular organizations that we go out and we minister to. And we partner with them and we tell them. They see, we have government agencies, the Office of Community Support Child Protection calls us and asks us for help. For provision, for supplies and things, and we minister back and forth, and they come to see the goodness of God in this hour. I am getting ready in February. We're going to be doing a training towards the end of the month. It's just going to be a couple of nights, serve an overview of service at our local pregnancy center. We're also going to be starting an abortion recovery program for the 1 in 3 in our community that needs to know the healing love of Jesus Christ. And we have a program that's actually on DVD called Surrendering the Secret. It's very similar to a Beth Moore study and excellently done. You don't have to even have had an abortion to lead it. You just have to love the Lord, have gifts of compassion, of listening, of mercy, and pointing people to freedom in Christ Jesus. And I had shared this with Gina over at the center. I really felt, Pastor Morris, that just for the church to pray, and I think I may have mentioned it to Pat also, to pray about this being a place, a safe haven of refuge, where that could possibly be one of the pilot churches to have that done. And what you'll see is you'll see the answer to the sign, come home, all is forgiven. You'll see people taking you up on that offer because they believe it. It's a sign to them, come in. I can have my new beginning and my new start here. And we'll help you, training you up on how to do it. And there need to be safe places of refuge where our hope is. We'll do it over at the center. But we want those broken and without hope to come into the body of Christ and to get planted in the body of Christ and to fulfill their destiny in Christ Jesus. Amen. So I thank y'all for allowing me to come today and share my heart. I also thank y'all for being strong prayer warriors. I know as I go out and the Lord sends me out into different places, it's my body and it might be my feet, but it's your prayers that have gone there before and that are going on my feet. And then the other thing is the material support that y'all have given, the laborers that have come to the center, and the financial support that you've given throughout the years. It's just been such a tremendous encouragement. And my hope is that we go home to heaven, as my 98-year-old mother-in-law did, that the Lord will open his arms to us and he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. And we will see those in heaven that will say, because of you, I lived on earth. Because of your prayers, because you did something, I lived on earth to fulfill my destiny. Amen. Thank you all, and God bless. Amen.
Amen. Cindy, before you run off, why don't you just stand here? Mary, would you come up here by your wife? And I want us to pray for Cindy and for Mary. Come up here right here. Just stand right in front of me, and just some of you prayers can come up here, and we're going to lay hands on this gal. Why don't you just turn around and face me, if you don't mind. Turn this way, baby. Talking. There we go. I got you in the right place. Father, I thank you for Cindy and for Mary, and Lord, as I tell them so often, they are the tip of the spear. Lord, and they have broken up the ground and set the pace so that others might follow. And Lord, I remember so many, many years ago when Cindy and Mary and those new believers walked into my home, and Lord, I knew that there was something special going in their lives, and Lord, I had no idea what you had in store for them. But Lord, I know as they stand out on the front lines that the enemy assails them. And so I ask for your divine protection over Marion and Cindy and their children, as you would protect them, Father, physically, emotionally, spiritually, as you would cause your blessings to pour out upon them, that they would prosper in the midst of the battle. And Lord, I ask you to open up more and more doors that Cindy might go through, that she might speak the word as she already has around the world, and that lives might be saved. And Lord, that the word that she just said to us would be fulfilled in her, that one day in the heavenly portals, others will run up to her and say, Cindy, because of you, Marion, because of you and your sacrifice, I live and I am here today. Father, keep them safe. Watch over them. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray together. Amen. Amen. And amen. 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 Thank you, Miss Cindy. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Marion. Amen. Hallelujah. What I would like to do, is Mike and Gina, if you would get the necessary information from Cindy that I would need for us to be involved in this recovery. I think that's something that we might could do here. We've got a great facility, and we can use it. So would you guys take that task and take care of that? Is it a done deal? I don't have to worry about it?
Don't have to worry about it.
All right, good. It's a done deal. That's what I like to hear. Yes, Michael. Oh, yes, it is. It's not just that. In fact, next week, the Lord willing, I have a sermon that I want to preach, continuing the theme of the sanctity of life. And I will show you that it's not just a scriptural reason why we shouldn't have abortion, but socially and physically why we shouldn't have abortions. It'll piggyback upon some of the things that Cindy said today. So we'll do that again next week, the Lord willing. Okay, I tend to preach that sermon. Thank you for coming. It always touches my heart to hear this. Of all the things that we can do, I believe all the things that we do become dust under our feet if we do not stop this slaughter of children in the mother's womb. It is our responsibility to be the voice that says something. We can no longer be quiet about it. It's going too far. There are too many dead. And we have the means to stop it. And we know we've been praying and fasting in the church. I believe that we'll see, we've already seen some results, but we need to see some results in this particular issue. Unfortunately, the new administration is very pro-murder. They call it pro-choice. It's pro-murder. And we need to speak out against it and use our money and our voices and our time and our talent to see that it stops. It must. The responsibility falls at our doorstep. There are no other voices. The church is the only ones that's doing anything. And we need to gather together, no matter our denominations, and put aside the things that separate us to focus on the things that bind us to stop this. We are as guilty, we, you and me. You know my little mirror up here? You know, that I want you to look at? We're as guilty as the citizens of Nazi Germany who allowed genocide to take place and turned their heads and looked the other way, thought they were powerless. Well, we're not powerless. We have the ability to do something. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, by the way,